Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Kicking off the third hour here. Phones are open. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We were on the phone a moment ago with a gentleman from Florida. We're going to bring him back online. Team Bonnie and Mark here tonight. And Michael in Florida, listening to WOCA out of Ocala, is asking, well, what would exactly things, you know, what might things look like in the absence of a centralized, one-size-fits-all monopoly on violence that we know today as the state? And what do we do with people who are really violent, the people who aren't part of the state who are violent, your average criminal, somebody who commits a murder or a rape or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever kind of violent crime that they're committing. They're not sorry for what they've done. They intend to keep on hurting people. You got a true psychopath you're dealing with. What do you do to keep that person away from the rest of society? Michael, did I recap that appropriately?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what I was calling and asking about. Mark mentioned something about judges, and then Bonnie, you said something about the matter of if it was a voluntary service of the police force. But would there be or would there not be any relationship with the, quote, actual authorities that deal with that? Or are we going to, in our utopian setup, have some folks that are actually judges, or I'm just trying to figure it out how it would work. Now, I know you're still looking at it and trying to figure it out yourselves, but I was just curious.
Yeah, so I know you'd asked Mark and Bonnie, but I just wanted to weigh in here on this.
No, that's fine.
The question of courts is an important one, because there's certain things that governments have done for as long as we've been alive and our grandparents have been alive that we always just figured, well, it has to be the government. We have to have a government for these things, and courts is certainly one of those things that have always been monopolized by the state. And I think what the free market advocates would say here is that any service is going to be done better if it is done in the free market. It's going to be made cheaper. We know the current justice system isn't that great, right? Like, we can easily find a lot of problems with the status quo. You know, the jury system kind of sucks. They say it's the best system in the world, but that ain't saying much. That's like, you know, saying you have the best form of cancer.
Yeah, they're so proud of it, too.
You know, in the rest of the world. So, you know, what would it look like to actually have market competition in the area of justice? And again, that's one of those questions that is difficult to answer because we don't know exactly how it would get set up.
And another thing I'd like to point out that sounds like you're kind of making this assumption, Michael, is that all of the landmass known as the United States wouldn't have to look exactly the same if we didn't want it to. I mean, it doesn't all have to be the same country with the same setups in each area. Me and my neighbors could come up with a system that's totally different than you and your neighbors.
Well, some people believe that would be.
Totally agree with that idea and thing, Bonnie. I didn't have an assumption the whole thing would have to be across the United States. I was just trying to get an understanding, or if there's been any deeper discussion that I haven't heard.
Yeah, let's see if we can throw some ideas out there and see if anything even sounds remotely feasible. So some people have suggested that there would be insurance providers who would provide protection services. So in the same way that we have insurers to protect you after the fact of a car accident, there may be insurers who provide actual, you know, armed police protection, some sort of protection service, in the same way that you could have a fire company respond to a fire at your house. You could have the same thing with policing. So what that might lead to are competing forms of protection agencies that would offer different levels of service, you know, everything from 24/7 armed guards down to just somebody to come by and train you on how to use a gun or, you know, sell you some locks for your front door. I mean, and you know, so there may be all kinds of things in between there, services such as neighborhood patrols, etc. And then the question is, well, what happens when one of these services picks somebody up who is an alleged criminal? You know, maybe they're prowling or they just broke into somebody's house or something like that. And in that case, I think one of the important things to point out is that they better make sure they've got the right guy. Because if they pick somebody up who is completely innocent, someone who has not actually committed the crime that they are then accused of committing, well, now you have an instance of kidnapping.
Yeah, well, I think that the way that Mark was explaining this, it's also the way that Alu explains it in his book, Presumed Guilty. The way that they used to do it, slash the way that it really should be done, that wouldn't ever happen because if somebody was going to be incarcerated, it would be the people who were clearly out in the street breaking things. Somebody who needed to be stopped right then, that person would be incarcerated. But then if there was something like, oh, there was a theft, we have suspects, those people wouldn't necessarily get incarcerated just because they matched the description. They'd have to actually do something in front of witnesses to get put into an actual holding cell. Today, we have like all kinds of people in there who haven't even seen a judge yet, who are just waiting for their initial thing, who just got picked up, and they're completely innocent. I think that that's a huge breach of due process.
So what you may end up having...
I agree that in regards to a victimless crime that I hear y'all speak about, I'm total in agreement with that, aspect. And I was just... In my initial question in calling in was just to seeing the overall picture and how it would operate.
Yeah, so let's look at the courts for just a moment. Presuming we have competing policing agencies that are competing to be the best, and rather than just this one-size-fits-all monopoly that we currently have, where if you're not happy with their service, too bad, you still have to pay for it.
Yeah, and good luck changing anything.
Yeah, whereas here you would hire a company because they had a reputation for being good. They get to the calls quickly. They are, you know, good at not shooting your dog. You know, things that the current government system is really terrible about. And so the best companies would rise to the top, presumably, in the markets, and the ones that were corrupted or whatever would not likely get customers. And the same thing could be true of the courts, where there would be differing competing courts out there offering, you know, different expertise, for instance, maybe judges that had certain expert ability in certain questions rather than just sort of one size fits all judge that has to decide all cases. Whether we would have a jury system or a system of experts, again, I don't know how all that would work.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me that a 30-something-year-old childless gay man got to decide that Shallon Noon endangered her child by leaving it alone for 15 minutes the other day.
Yeah, you're referring to the judge in Concord District Court that we discussed with Jay Noon on Thursday. So, you know, maybe we would have some experts that would be actually in these courts. And
obviously not a child care expert.
Yeah, and then we would then see what the market decided as far as which courts were the most valuable, which courts were providing the best service. I mean, anytime you look up a court on Google and it has like a rating, if you look up, today, if you go and look up your local court building, if it's more than 2 out of 5 stars, I will be shocked. Usually it's like 0 to 1 star. If it's, you know, better than average, it's probably a 2-star rating. So people currently hate the system as it is. They know the system is corrupt. They know it's terrible.
Even if you're doing something, if you're involved with the court for something that they are technically helping you with that, they're doing it badly. Like, I don't know if I've even said this on the show, but I got a restraining order against somebody for a very valid reason, and the only service I can use currently, legally, is the freaking cops that exist from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, not only have they failed to serve the guy, mm-hmm. they can't find him. The lady at the clerk's office today was saying, I have talked to the police office about it, even though the police, or Keene Police Department, told us, like, I know nothing about it. Yeah. I know nothing about that. They give you a runaround.
They pass the buck.
Quote, unquote, they're helping us, but someone else could do it so much better.
And it's worth pointing out, this isn't a town of 17 million people. This is a town of 23,000. And you know, the fact that the police can't serve some kind of restraining order, you know, might be indicative of it. Well, it's certainly bad customer service. I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but it's certainly bad customer service. And I love telling this story about when I was in the U.S. Marianas on the island of Saipan. The island of Saipan has 55,000 people on it. It is 13 miles long and 5 miles wide.
Wow.
And two times while I was there in a 2-month period, they found somebody who had been on the run for close to 2 years. Both times it was automobile accidents. They found these people. These people had warrants out for them in a municipality of 55,000 people. I mean, that's a small place. And for 2 years, and to consider how many people are employed as police officers on this island, and then you realize they're all related. I mean, the cops were hiding these people until they could no longer not hide them. And, you know, it could very well be going on in a municipality near you that the police decide, well, I really don't want to go after Cousin Jim Bob, even though he is, well, kind of kooky. I just don't want to do that. And besides, I don't like these other people, yep. So I'm not going to give them good customer service. And frankly, having spent 15 years in Keene, New Hampshire, I believe their police department would do exactly that.
Yeah, so then you got, possibly competition amongst the courts, maybe getting the best price as a result of that. And then, of course, about the jails, whatever those would end up looking like. And again, maybe we would see competition in these areas. And maybe they would be competing on things that we can't really, we might be shocked that they compete on. Maybe we would actually see jails that, depending on the society, I mean, if you're in a society that's like full of punishment mentality people, then you might see more punishing style jails. Now, I personally don't think that is particularly effective. And hopefully the market would move towards what's most effective, which would be to actually rehabilitate people. And maybe we would see jails that would be competing on providing the best opportunity to the people who are going to be put in those facilities. Maybe the jails would be offering their services to the person who was going in to stay, and maybe that person would actually get some sort of choice in where they ended up going to stay based on what was available and what the services were and things like that. It's really hard to know what all this would look like, but hopefully that gives you, I don't know, something to start with.
Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all's time, and I really always enjoyed the program. I was just wondering how the possible setup would be, and of course I'm thinking too, maybe like y'all, that murderers, rapists, child molesters, and that what have you don't need to really necessarily be around the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I think some people would take that viewpoint, although as Mark has pointed out many times, humans are fallible, and so, you know, it would be a real tragedy to accuse somebody of murder who didn't actually commit murder.
Well, we're not talking about accusing. We're like you said, like Bonnie was saying, multiple witnesses, and it's, or even...
Well, hopefully in that case, that person would just get shot on the scene by whoever happened to witness them.
You would hope so.
Taking somebody's life.
That's a good point.
You would hope so.
Yeah. Let's see. Bonnie, did you have something else to interject here?
Well, kind of like Turd Ferguson called the other day, and he asked, basically, if you knew that you could stop a terrorist attack, but you had to waterboard one person to get the information out. My answer to that was, well, the answer to that is not to waterboard people, but to beef up your own security, right? If you know a terrorist attack is going to happen, then instead of torturing an innocent person, because in this scenario, that for some reason makes sense.
It's ridiculous. We know that torture doesn't get good information anyway.
Right. Well, that's the answer to that question is that, A, yes, I would waterboard a person in order to stop a terrorist attack that killed, 300 people. I would. However, I also am completely aware that torture has never worked and gave us the terrible information that's about the nuclear weapons in Iraq that caused the invasion in the first place. Like, torture gives you the opposite results of what you're looking for.
Well, that's like, why my answer is no. You're saying your answer is yes, but that's not my answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying is that I would be willing to bend the rules to get the truth. But this bending of the rules has a very poor track record of getting the truth.
I wouldn't allow my eternal soul to be guilty of torturing an innocent man, even if it was to save 300 people or whatever he said.
And that's why I would do it. And he said innocent man?
Yeah, that's what he specifically said. He said it's a question to purposely make you have to choose between sticking to your principles or not. I mean, it's a fine, what's the word, theoretical question.
Yeah, it's a trolley. It's another trolley scenario.
I want to also point out, Michael, that what we're talking about here is not utopia. Okay, so the libertarian viewpoint isn't asking for a utopia. It doesn't expect utopia. We know that even in the absence of a government one size fits all monopoly system, we're still going to have people who are doing wrong. We're still going to have corruption. We're still going to have malfeasance.
You're going to have bad decisions, too.
Yep.
It's going to happen. But, you know, all we're looking for is something better. And so far, competition has generally gotten us better things. So anybody who wants to protect the United States court system on first, primarily civil law, because that's just ridiculous. They shouldn't be involved in civil law at all. But secondarily, criminal law, like, what are you trying to protect?
Exactly.
All right, Michael, anything else you want to share?
No, I just appreciate it very much. Hey. And I actually myself done private security, both armed and unarmed, and mostly at a hospital. And it's definitely something that, well, even the prison system, I have seen some prison systems, smaller ones, set up with private, not the, I can't remember the name of that group that starts with an S, but anyway, they really got it in for young people, the youth and the teenagers. But
Scared Straight?
No. I can't remember the name of it.
Is this a private prison company you're thinking about?
Yeah, it's a private prison company. But what I'm saying is, I have seen some other smaller prisons operated privately, not government connected or the whole system where somebody like a judge is feeding people to it, that operated with a proper setup, and the recidivism rate has declined because they were trying to get them trained and to jobs and making better choices in life, and they get out.
What I think is so amazing is that everywhere, globally, we can say this about every place on the planet, that people demand and yearn for justice, right? They want to see the bad guys stopped, and they want to see the good guys prosper. And somehow, government manages to get in there and screw that up again and again and again. And I can only presume that in a free market, the people would demand justice. Nobody likes the idea of somebody being incarcerated longer than they need to be. And frankly, what I would say about the state and incarceration is that everybody reaches their moment of rehabilitation at different points, and the least qualified organization to figure out what that moment is, is the government.
Yep. Thank you, Michael, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you here tonight. And I think it's also important to point out here, when we talk about, prisons that are run in a marketplace, we're not talking about the privatized prisons of today. Because in a lot of cases, those are rightfully criticized as being terrible places to be, as are the government prisons.
Well, I'm sure the government gets to choose who gets to be a private prison.
Right. And it's a good old boy thing. And, the buddies of the politicians are the ones that are getting the contracts and things like that. We're talking about competition in prisons. We're talking about where it's not the government deciding, this one-size-fits-all monopoly on violence, deciding that, okay, this one prison is acceptable. It meets our government standards for being a prison, which is, of course, torturing people or whatever other things that they do there. We're talking about an actual competing environment, a true market for incarceration. Now, again, what that would look like, that remains to be seen. And I do think it would have a lot to do with the kind of people in the society. There's certain things some people think are valuable that other people don't. And how that would all end up hashing out with the market, I think it would be very interesting to see. I think there have been a lot of studies that have shown over the years that the sort of tough-on-crime attitude hasn't been particularly successful. The punitive punishment system hasn't actually resulted in, you know, lower recidivism rates, and the idea that, you know, you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life hasn't necessarily stopped people from doing crazy things. So could there be a more compassionate solution that maybe we haven't really found yet? I think that hopefully we would discover that. But if people want a bunch of really tough places for people to be incarcerated, presumably the market would give them that. I don't know. All right, let's continue here. We've got Crichton on the line in Kentucky. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Crichton.
Hi. I wanted to call in because I could actually help the previous caller, but I called in for a previous conversation about inflation, and they're both related, ironically. Before COVID, I would occasionally teach at a co-op for homeschoolers. I would teach praxeology. And two of the books that I would use were part of a series called the Uncle Eric series. First one is called Whatever Happened to Penny Candy and was related to inflation and money and all of that stuff. And the second book I would use is Whatever Happened to Justice and is related to how free societies would manage justice prior to government co-opting that function. And I think that even though these books are targeted at middle schoolers, that they are excellent primers on both those subjects.
Okay, can you name them one more time?
Whatever Happened to Penny Candy and Whatever Happened to Justice.
Okay.
They're part of a series called the Uncle Eric series.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And another book that in that same series that is more in-depth is called The Great Money Mystery.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of all these.
And that one goes into defining what money is, and by doing so, excluding the U.S. dollar from money. But it does so in a story form, and it is very entertaining.
Excellent recommendations here, Crichton. Was there anything else you wanted to share tonight?
Nope, that is exactly what I wanted to share.
All right. Thank you for the call tonight.
That's a really cool, good recommendation. I like the book The Richest Man of Babylon for the same thing. It's a novel, but it explains. It's an allegory for real situations and topics.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that about like how to handle money?
Yeah, how to save your money. Mm-hmm. I had to read parts of that in a class. It was probably the most productive thing I had to learn
in
high school, at least that I can remember off the top of my head.
Had The Richest Man in Babylon as required reading in your high school? That's great. I think that's wonderful.
That was the one teacher that was like a really good teacher, and they were basically like unrestrained because we lived in the middle of nowhere, even though it was a public school. So some were terrible, and some were pretty good.
My only critique on the book, and I think it's a great book, is that they suggest investing and then don't really give you a good way to determine what investments are good and which ones aren't. But that's it.
That's subject of another book. Hey, there's more coming up here. We got time for you if you want to join us. Harry Brown wrote one, actually, called Fail-Safe Investing, which was really interesting. It's pretty short, too. That's the former Libertarian presidential candidate from the year 2000 and 1996. We got more coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA USA News update. Over 40 million Americans are on alert for severe weather this week. Citizens from Denver down to Dallas, as far east as Charlotte, North Carolina, may experience hail, winds up to 70 miles per hour, possible tornadoes. Some parts of the country, including Alabama and Georgia, have already been getting pummeled by a line of intense storms that's been pushing southeast. Friends and family members said goodbye Monday to a black mother of four allegedly shot to death by a white neighbor in Florida during a dispute involving her children. Civil rights leader Reverend Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy at A.J. Owens' funeral.
Yes, we're angry, but we're not mad. We discipline our anger to get justice.
Susan Lawrence is charged with manslaughter, but Owens' family has begun a petition demanding the charge be upgraded to second-degree murder. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. You're currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And here tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
Mark was with us, maybe having some technical difficulties.
Really one of those days.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's
there
just he not paying attention.
Morning. Thought you were interesting and hung out with us.
Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
No, he's talking to someone else. It sounds like he's got something.
Oh, sorry, just sitting down.
Okay, welcome. Welcome back to the show. All right, so the number here, Mark Edge with us from all the way in Mexico City. The number here is 603-283-6160. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts coming up here. Of course, you can bring up anything you want. Let's talk first to Conejo calling us from FEMA Region 13. You're on Free Talk Live.
Well, hello there, Brother Ian, Brother Mark, and Sister Bonnie.
Hi, Conejo. What's on your mind tonight?
Just kidding, sorry. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's mentioned the phrase yet, but I've heard this as polycentric law theory.
Oh, are we talking about competing courts, that idea?
Yeah, competing courts, competing justice, security. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting examples that we've got in history is when before San Francisco was part of the United States, and it's basically just a mining town that exploded into a city overnight. they came up with private police forces. Hmm. And San Francisco is one of the few places that actually still has private police. They also have a bunch of communist and socialist police forces layered on, scabbed on top of that.
They still have private police today?
Never heard of that.
Yeah, they're a very small minority, but there will be an office building. It'll have a private police force who's empowered as a police officer fully. I don't know exactly how that works, but if you Google, or excuse me, if you web search Private Police San Francisco Reason Magazine, there's an excellent article. I'm not a big fan of Reason normally, but really great article there.
Well, it sounds like they need to expand the idea beyond the office building because San Francisco's in trouble big time right now. That city's in bad shape criminally. Like, you got businesses closing down all over the place.
Too much stealing, right?
Nordstrom has closed its two stores, or is closing its two downtown stores. Whole Foods closed its store in downtown San Francisco, and there's been others as well. So they're desperately in need of trying something new. But I think, as you pointed out, there's so many socialists there, it's hard to change that system.
Yeah, and one other thing is what do you do with psychopaths and with murderers and people who come into a community and cause havoc?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
you have them badges.
Come out of private pardon?
Give them badges.
Yeah. Well, if you come onto private property, there's this person who did an open source version of law, and he did maritime law, commercial law, whatever the French system is called, English common law, and it's basically a big codex of law that you can pick from, like a la carte. It's called ULEX, ULEX. And the idea is you can subscribe to whatever laws you want and build your own profile. And if you're doing business with someone, if you have a deal killer where you won't do business with someone who doesn't agree to this certain set of rules that you agree to, like you've got some certain sticking points, then you can't contract with each other.
Okay, makes sense.
And then another thing.
ULEX is very interesting. So the guy named Tom W. Bell, professor out in California, came up with this. And basically what he went through English common law and stripped out what he called the activist portions and left it very sort of bare bones. English common law has widely, globally, been accepted as the standard that, you know, places wish to use when they choose to use arbitration. You know, so ULEX is intended to be the next best, the next new best thing from that.
Yeah, it's very helpful in, like, international business dealings and negotiations, I guess. But the other thing is, if you've got a murderer who's coming into your community, well, that person, if they haven't agreed to certain terms, well, they're trespassing, so they are subject to your laws. So that's kind of... If everything's private property, there is no what do you do with this person who doesn't agree with your law. That doesn't exist.
Okay, makes sense to me. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see how that all ended up shaping up. What do you think about the question of competing jails? Like, how do you think that would end up working out?
That's the first time I've heard that, and that has my head spinning. I love it.
Yeah.
Because if you were carrying insurance. Back in the late 1800s, people would carry multiple life insurance policies, multiple health insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
You might carry insurance policies, security force policies, McDonald's Security and Justice and Brinks Security and Jurisprudence or whatever, and be members of both.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be a member of one. But one of the considerations you might take into account when you're choosing from this menu of service at security and justice services is how do they treat me, and how would if I'm accused of a crime, how much do I trust them to give me justice and judge me fairly?
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen? Would I be penalized, or would it be restitution? So that'd be a menu choice.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, I think that if we're talking about crimes of the victim, which is what I like to call crimes,
mm-hmm.
most people want some kind of restitution. There are certainly people that want to see punishment, and I you know, I don't have a particular problem with that. But the vast majority of people just want to be made whole, and they want the person out there to not do that thing again. And by made whole, there's some things you can never make whole for, but you can sure. make an attempt, right? And so when it comes to restitution, it may be that some organization comes along and says, hey, I'll buy, you know, bad Ian's labor for the next 3 years at $30,000. And another organization comes on and says, I'll buy bad Ian's labor for $35,000. And whatever the situation is, maybe that's how the restitution gets paid to, you know, the victims in these circumstances. And you know, we don't know what bad Ian's going to be doing for labor, but I suspect it won't be pleasant.
Yeah, if you are into punitive justice instead of restorative justice, well, you better be ready to subject yourself to that law system, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. Conejo, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the thoughts.
Oh, I just want to tell him if he's really interested in that idea, he should read Chaos Theory by Robert Murphy, because he talks mostly about that.
Which, about what?
Private court and, I think, prison systems.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. All right, Conejo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's continue here. Caller, you are on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
I'm Dan from Nebraska.
Dan, what's on your mind tonight?
So, I was listening to your guys' conversation about the jails that was just going on, and the point that I heard about you know, buying labor of jails and private jails,
mm-hmm.
It makes me worried that if this kind of system were to be implemented, you could have something similar to the old school debt peonage that used to be done in the United States.
And what is that?
Right? I mean, this is so.
Oh, it's still done in the United States. It's just done if you owe the government.
Well, I don't know about that. If it's done, if that's technically should still be called debt peonage, because they're not necessarily like working off, you know, a bond or something. They're generally serving a time that we think is reasonable of like separation from the rest of society for their safety.
I don't know if we would agree
with that.
You
think not paying taxes makes you dangerous to society?
To a degree, yes. I mean, you're using the infrastructure and not supporting it.
Well, in a lot of cases, you don't have an option of using infrastructure that is in competition, right? Like, there's not a lot of free market roads there in Nebraska. Am I correct?
That's correct. There's barely any, basically.
And, you know, the federal government really only spends money to the interstates anyway. And, frankly, if they had to, they could fund interstates in a variety of different fashions, if that's what they wanted to do. But
there's more infrastructure.
The vast majority of tax goes to the war machine in the United States. And I, as a Quaker, personally find this abhorrent. So I try not to pay tax.
It's actually the war machine, and it's paying the
debt.
It's paying the debt on the dollar loans that the Federal Reserve makes.
Paying
the interest payments. Yeah, which are now, I believe, the interest payments per year are actually higher than the defense budget.
Doesn't that make all taxpayers debt peon? What's for debt peons or whatever he said?
Peonage, I think he said was the word, but I'm not.
Isn't it debt peonage for wars to pay taxes?
No. So, debt peonage is when basically you would owe a huge sum for some like crime you did, and you would basically be bought out or, you know, leased out to, you know, some private company where, you know, they would pay you or pay your way out, and you kind of like owe them back. And this is not the same thing.
Well, I think it's similar. I think it's in the same vein, because
the logic of this jail system is that we need this to keep this huge system going. It's more about, you know, the stability and the order of the system than it necessarily is about, you know, making sure somebody gets paid.
I don't even know what you're saying at this point, Dan.
I think I
talking about a system. Hold on, Bonnie. Well, you keep talking about a system here. And what we were talking about, at least what I was talking about, was the idea of competing jails that would compete on the basis of services for the people that they are incarcerating, that might even be to the point where the person who's going to be incarcerated would actually get to choose the facility that they go to. They would get to choose whether or not they wanted to work, because obviously you can't force someone to work. That's going to be a very, very poor results if they are being forced to work. So you want somebody to want to work. So they would be incentivized to actually do the work. And if that could work on paying off the victim, and if that could work towards paying the facility's costs of incarceration, then that seems like it's a win-win for everybody. Dan?
For whatever reason, people who believe is
Hello?
Heavily in the government... Oh, did he not hear?
I don't know. Dan, did you hear what I said there?
Hey, I'm sorry. I can't hear anymore.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hang up.
All right, Ellen. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, I don't know what a peon is to Dan, but what I've heard a peon is essentially somebody who has to buy from the company store. So you work at a place where Walmart owns everything. You work at Walmart, and you buy your food at Walmart, and you get your home supplies from Walmart, and then ultimately you run up this tab, and that's what peonism is. It's a step up from slavery, but people still look at it as bondage. And I would say that, you know, the current governmental system is evolved from slavery. I mean, like, there's no difference in it. Now, you have some choices. You can choose to leave, but that's ultimately what slavery is, like the ability to leave or not. And but I would say, yes, in fact, taxes are, by definition, peonism.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, even if it doesn't meet the exact definition of what he was talking about, isn't it in a way worse? Because before you do the bad thing, which is borrow money and not pay it back, you're being forced to work for these people, and you have no choice about it, and they're not even delivering you a product that you actually want to buy. They're delivering bombing brown people in Iraq.
Well, one thing that he said was is that essentially courts make rulings on you that you owe a bunch of money. Then the only way to pay off the money is to, work in indentured servitude. And this may very well be a system. I'd love to read more about it. But, mostly what I'm talking about is the United States government determines that you owe them some amount of money. You're supposed to figure out that amount. When you get it wrong, then you're... going to jail. And now I get it, that they don't send a lot of people to jail for tax debt. That's because people are generally willing to negotiate on this topic. But if you, believe me, if you say, I don't owe you any taxes, and I'm not going to pay, believe me, you're going to prison. And the idea that somehow the debt to the government is okay, and the debt to Walmart is not okay, just reveals a leftist twist in thinking, in my opinion.
And I was going to basically make the same point, because he kept saying, like, we need this system to go on. And he has used that kind of language before, because he is a leftist and he believes that we need the government to keep our rights intact. He said he's a utilitarian and that basically governments are essential, because without a government, we have no one to protect our rights. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said, but that's basically what utilitarianism is the status type. Anyways, so he believes basically in the same exact principle of the thing that he dislikes, except, well, it's the government. And I don't know. I don't understand that, logical mix-up that happens in status head, where they're like, well, we can't have this, but we can have it if it's called the government.
Let's go to your phone calls here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, I'm Andrew from Tennessee.
What's on your mind, Andrew?
I don't think Mark really understands what freedom and liberty is all about.
Okay. Or is he getting it wrong? Because I agree with you.
I mean, I think Mark, honestly, you sound like the kind of person that I would 100% not go into business with.
Okay. I don't know why that is, but all right. Lots of people have gone into business with me.
I can tell you a lot of reasons. I mean, it's funny because you're on the radio and, I don't really judge people, but, I can definitely tell what you're trying to do. And I just don't agree with you, Mark.
What am I trying to do?
like, I just think you're a guy that's trying to go into a neighborhood and, like, buy some property and be like, hey, everybody, I'm trying to put this false impression to you and buy some property. And I just think you're a swindler.
Well, he is a salesman, so I mean, a lot of people don't really like sales guys.
You're my favorite caller ever.
Maybe that's what you're picking up on. But I think Aunt Mark is generally an honest person, having worked.
Have
with
I offered for... any real estate for sale on Free Talk Live?
Mark, hold on.
I let you call me a swindler. I get to make a rebutting statement, and that statement is that I have refused. Okay, you can just keep talking then.
Go ahead, Mark.
I have refused to sell property in Honduras at this point because I don't believe I can deliver what people would expect from me. I believe my name has value and that I will not let people feel swindled, because right now you, caller, cannot get swindled by me. You cannot do it because I will not accept your money.
I would never give you any amount.
Okay. That's fine.
The way you sound, like, you sound so desperate. Like, you desperate. Sound like the kind of guy that's like, oh, my business still didn't work out. Somebody please give me some money so I can, like, make it up. You know, you sound like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
I don't know. But why do you say that about him?
I don't know why he thinks all these things, but it's funny.
Because I have been in business with people before, and I get a sensation from him. Okay. I would not ever go into business with him.
So it's just a feeling that you have. It's not based on anything
he
said.
I've heard him talk, and I understand. It's not just a feeling. It's that I know the kind of person he is because I've been in business with the kind of people. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, oh, well, you don't know everybody. Well, you know, I do. I kind of do. So, like, don't judge me and think that I don't know.
Well, I suspect Mark is going to judge you based on, you know, the things that you've said.
Well, I got to say, Mark, just 1 week before Cantwell was fired, caller started calling in and saying he gave swindling vibes.
Hey, look, Bonnie, I sincerely hope that you've learned, managed to get something out of this. I know that you are a great talk show host, and I know you're going to learn things. But I also know when I started this talk show caller 20 years ago, that I didn't know everything about being on the air, and I got frustrated with callers a lot, and I wanted Free Talk Live to be perfect. I wanted people to get the very best product that they were going to get, and that doesn't mean that I think that you're going to turn into a white supremacist
next week
by any stretch of the imagination. All I'm saying is that I learned this game the hard way, too.
Hey, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate the call there out of Tennessee. Let's continue with, I think we have Law Dog on the line in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Law Dog.
Yeah, thank you much for taking my call there,
yes,
Ian. It's good to hear you.
Go ahead.
I looked at your dossier there, and you do look a lot like Novak Djokovic, but I...
Okay.
Somebody else said that before. I don't remember who that guy is.
Digress. He's a tennis star. He just won his 23rd Grand Slam.
Yeah, he's the guy that wouldn't take the vaccine to get into the tennis tournaments.
Yeah. But I got a succession plan for Michigan here. I'll make it quick. I know you're under the gun.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
All 15 counties up in the Upper Peninsula succeed and get annexed to Wisconsin. Then 53 counties up in the upper, middle, and lower peninsula can succeed to Indiana and be annexed by them. Now, this one was a little tricky. Huron, Tuscola, Sanilac, Lapeer, and St. Clair succeed and be annexed by West Ontario and have Sarnia as its capital, and it can be called the West Bum of Ontario on Lake Huron. Then Monroe.
Is this its own state, or is this Indiana?
It would be Indiana. You'd have the Upper Peninsula, would be Wisconsin, the west half of the Lower Peninsula, would be Indiana, and it would be chopped up. You could put Lenawee, Monroe, and Hillsdale County. Could either go to Indiana or Ohio, but the key is the last seven counties.
So wait,
Lake,
are you
Oakland?
So you're talking about these different parts of Michigan would be joining other states, and what about the last seven?
The last seven, they're skank. Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Genesee, Washtenaw, Saginaw, and Ingham. You know, they can that can be comprised of Michigan, then what Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio, and even Canada can do is just, you know, anybody who wants to be communist and socialist, just go in those seven counties, and we can build walls to keep them out of, you know, what was Michigan.
Wayne County, isn't that the Detroit County?
Yeah, that's okay. Home and Young Land. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Love Dog, we have heard from people in Michigan that there is apparently an Upper Peninsula secession movement. Is there anything that's going beyond that, like what you're talking about, or is this just something that you've cooked up?
I just, you know, I had 15 minutes to kill, and I looked at a looked at a map and says, hey, let's see if we can make this.
Have you gotten in touch with any other secessionists there in Michigan at all?
I'm a hermit, know.
So this is going nowhere then, basically, you know.
No, yeah. Well, you guys are pretty smart. You got that. What was it? The Church of the Invisible Hand.
That's nobody's church. That's our co-host. He has his own church.
Now, what he should do is he should put Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of the Invisible Hand, and he can sneak in and squat in these hermitages. And, you know, they wouldn't kick him out, and they just let him live there. It would be a great life.
Except
there's no drugs for him.
Yeah, I don't know what that would do. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Law Dog. I'm not really sure what all that is really going to mean. But let's go to Major Payne, who's also in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
All right. During my short stint with the Federals, they bounced me around to about three or four different facilities during the course of a year. One of these was run by a private security system.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a problem with that, which is because if you're employed by the state or the feds, if you assault a guard, that's a felony.
Okay. Well, call in tomorrow, and you can tell us more about it at that time, Major. We are unfortunately out of time tonight, but I do appreciate hearing from you. Back tomorrow night. Mark should be joining us again from Mexico City. Aria should be here as well. Of course, your calls.
I love you, Bonnie.
Then love you.
See you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.